Our text today brings us into one of the most tender moments in the Gospel of John. Jesus has been speaking to his disciples through the long farewell conversation that begins with foot washing and moves through love, betrayal, trouble, the promise of the Holy Spirit, and the assurance that Jesus has overcome the world. Now he stops speaking to them and begins praying to the Father where they can hear him. This prayer does more than ask God for help. It lets the disciples overhear the heart of Jesus. The pressure in the room is real. Judas has already stepped into the night. Peter's courage is about to crack. The rest of the disciples will scatter. And Jesus knows all of that. He knows the cross is close. And he knows his followers aren't nearly as prepared as they believe they are. But he doesn't shame them. He doesn't lecture them one more time about being stronger. He prays for them. In these verses, Jesus teaches us that eternal life begins in knowing God through the Son. He shows us that glory is not about applause or power. It's about God's love revealed through obedience. Jesus reminds us that believers belong to God before they fully understand everything God is doing. And he asks the Father to keep them, not by removing them from the world, but by guarding them while they live in it. This passage speaks when faith feels pressured, the future feels uncertain, and the people who love Jesus are still feeling very fragile. We are not held together by our own strength. We are kept by the Father, we're prayed for by the Son, and we're sustained by grace. And that is why this prayer still hits so close to home for us today. So listen as I read, or read along with me, in John 17, 1 through 11. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, we all know what being in a pressure-filled room feels like. The air seems heavy. Quite often people are talking about the weather because talking about the real thing might make them fall apart. This text belongs in that kind of room. Jesus and his disciples aren't gathered for a calm little Bible study after supper. They are in the last hours before the cross. Judas has already left. Peter has made promises that will not survive the night. The disciples love Jesus, but they don't understand what's happening. They can feel something's coming, but they can't stop it. And Jesus knows more than they do. He knows the arrest is close. He knows the trial will be unjust. He knows the cross is waiting. He knows his friends will scatter. If anybody in that room had reason to be consumed by fear, it was Jesus. But that is not what he does. He looks to the Father and prays. That moment tells us something about Jesus. It tells us something about life with God. Jesus doesn't deny the pressure. He doesn't pretend that the disciples are stronger than they are. He doesn't act like the world is harmless. He doesn't say everything's fine when everything is not fine. He prays in the middle of it. Y'all, faith doesn't remove us from pressure. Certainly not always. Sometimes faith teaches us where to turn when the pressure is still pressing. A lot of us want God to keep us by taking us out of hard places. We want God to keep us by solving the problem, easing the grief, changing the person who is making our life difficult, or giving us clear roads with no potholes. And sometimes God does move in those ways. Sometimes doors open. Sometimes healing comes. Sometimes the burden lifts. But in this text, Jesus doesn't pray for the disciples to be removed from the world. He prays for them to be kept in it. That's a different kind of grace. It's one thing to believe God loves us when life is calm. It's another thing to trust that God can keep us when the storm is raging, when the pressure is immense, and when the future is unclear, when our own courage feels thin. Jesus prays for real people in real pressure. These disciples weren't stained glass saints yet. They weren't polished church legends with halos and perfect faith. They were tired men who misunderstood Jesus often. They argued about greatness. They asked the wrong questions. They overestimated themselves. They wanted to follow Jesus, but they were about to find out how weak they could be. And Jesus still prays for them. Loved ones, that is grace. He doesn't wait until they are steady. He doesn't wait until they pass the tests. He doesn't wait until they understand the cross. He doesn't wait. Before they ever fall apart, Jesus is already praying. Jesus doesn't begin caring for you after you get yourself together. He's not waiting for you to be strong. He meets us in our weakness. He prays for people who mean well but stumble. He keeps people whose faith is real but unfinished. And Jesus also speaks of eternal life in a way that pulls us deeper than we sometimes go. We often talk about eternal life as what happens after we die, and yes, it includes heaven, and praise God for that. Because of Jesus, death doesn't get the last word. But Jesus says eternal life is knowing God through the one he sent. And that means eternal life is not only length of days. It is relationship. It is life with God that begins now and continues forever. That should change how we hear this prayer. Jesus is not only praying, preparing them for a future destination, he is drawing them into communion with the Father. He is giving them a life rooted in knowing God, trusting God, and being held by God. And that kind of life survives pressure because it doesn't depend on circumstances being easy. Then Jesus prays for protection, not escape, protection. There's a big difference between those two. Escape says, get me out of here. Protection says, keep me faithful while I am here. Escape says, remove every hard thing. Protection says, guard my heart so that the hard thing does not destroy what you are forming in me. That doesn't mean we should enjoy suffering or stay where harm is being done. It means Jesus knows his people live in a world that can wear down faith, pull apart relationships, twist priorities, and steal joy. So he asks the Father to keep them. Now, kept doesn't mean untouched. Kept means held. It means guarded. Kept means God has not loosened his grip even when life is unstable. I think about how often churches need this prayer. Churches face pressure too. Grief, change, disagreement, weariness, financial strains, old wounds, new fears. People can love Jesus and still get tired. People can believe the gospel and still struggle to love one another well. People can sit in the same sanctuary and carry very different kinds of pain. So when Jesus prays that his people may be one, he's not praying for something decorative. Unity is not a church slogan. It is survival. It is witness. It is part of how the world sees the love of God made visible among ordinary people. Unity doesn't mean everyone has the same opinion. It doesn't mean we avoid hard conversations. It doesn't mean we pretend wrong is right or truth doesn't matter. The unity Jesus prays for grows out of belonging to the same Father and being held by the same grace. Christian unity begins when we stop treating one another as obstacles and remember we are the people Jesus prays for. Y'all, that'll change a room. And as the prayer continues beyond these verses, Jesus speaks of joy. The joy is not shallow happiness. It's not pretending everything feels good. It is a deep gladness of belonging to God. The gladness that can live even when we have tears in our eyes. Jesus wants his people kept. He wants his people united. He wants his people guarded in joy. That's not small. Maybe today you're in the middle of something, not at the beginning where you have energy, not at the end where you look back and say, now I understand. You're just somewhere in the middle. And the middle can be hard because when we're in the middle, we're far enough in to be tired, but not far enough to see how God is working. This text tells us that Jesus knows how to pray in the middle. And better than that, Jesus prays for us in the middle. So what do we do with this? We let him keep us. That sounds simple, but it may be one of the hardest acts of faith. We stop pretending we are strong enough on our own. We stop trying to hold the whole world together with our hands. We stop confusing anxiety with responsibility. We turn our eyes toward the Father because Jesus has already turned his toward him. And we practice the unity he prayed for. We choose one another with patience. We speak truth with love. We forgive because we have been forgiven. And we refuse to let fear become the loudest voice in the room. The good news is not that life will never press hard. The good news is that Jesus doesn't abandon his people when it does. He prays for real people in real pressure. He asks the Father to keep us united and guard our joy. And because Jesus prays, we are not left alone to survive by grit. We are held in the middle of it. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, thank you for meeting us in your word today. Thank you for the prayer of Jesus, which reminds us that we are not kept by our own strength. As we leave this space, help us live as people who belong to you. Keep us faithful under pressure, gentle in disagreement, and steady in uncertainty. Keep us joyful in your grace. Make us one in Christ and let our lives show the love you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen.